I'd like to try to learn together a piece of Yismach Yisrael for Parshas Baal Oscha. We'll look at the first piece on the Parsha, Os Aleph. It appears on page 46 and 47. Vayas Kein Aaron. The Yismach Yisrael begins by quoting the pasuk at the beginning of the Parsha when it describes the obligation of lighting the menorah. Hashem commands Aaron HaKohen to light the menorah. Baal Oscha Saneros. Elmol Penei HaMenorah Yeiru Shiva Saneros. And then Pasuk Gimel begins, Vayas Kein Aaron, and Aaron did as he was commanded. Aaron did so. And Rashi explains, based on the Sifrei, Lahagid Shivcho Shal Aaron Shaloshina. It comes to speak the praises of Aaron HaKohen, that he did not deviate in any way from the commandment of Hashem. And the question is very obvious, and it's asked by many Svarim. V'hadavar hu mikoshi amuvan. It's very difficult to understand. V'chiyayla aladas sha'aron. Yishanech alila, would we imagine for a moment that Aaron, God forbid, would change from the divine command? What is the great praise of Aaron that he did as Hashem told him to do? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to you directly and told you to do something, then why would you think to do it in some other type of way? Again, a famous question on the Rashi at the beginning of the Parsha. So he quotes from Rav Yitzchak of Vorki, the Admor HaKadosh Hari Mivorka, Rav Yitzchak of Vorki, Peres Shaloshina means Shalonikar bo shum shinoi v'hispalus b'shas hadlakas ha-menorah la'achar kol ha-yichudim v'akavanos ha-noraos me'inyan hadlakas ha-menorah. You have to imagine that Aaron HaKohen, when he lit the menorah, it was not just a simple performance of a mitzvah, which is in and of itself a very holy thing, but Aaron, being the great Kohen Gadol that he was, knew all sorts of kavanos, and he knew all sorts of yichudim, and he knew how to really bring the right kavana, the deeper dimensions of kavana, to the hadlakas ha-menorah. And yet, despite being so energized by all of the many, many madrigos of attachment to Hashem that he felt in performing this mitzvah, nonetheless, he was able to what? To not demonstrate outwardly any hispilus, any expression of excitement or energy in a way that would give on or reveal the fact that he was being mechave in all of these kavanos and yichudim. Rather, he was able to do so in a very internal and sanua way. V'amr b'tzchos l'shono hakadosh, and the Admor Mivorki, or Yitzchak of Vorki, used to say that that's an amazing thing, to be able to be so energized by a mitzvah, and yet to be able to, so to speak, allow the fire to burn within, and to be able to control oneself from revealing, from being megala, the sod with which one is connected to, that's a big deal. And he said, somewhat jokingly, but it's a deep idea, Ilo haya mitzava kadosh baruch hu mitzvazu laharav atzadik kadosh mi berdichev. Imagine if the great Rav Levi Yitzchak Berdichever, zecher tzad v'kadosh levracha, was given the obligation to light the menorah. The stories about Rav Levi Yitzchak are well known. Whether it was the Pesach Seder when he was rolling on the floor and knocking over the wine and breaking the matzos in his unbelievable hislavos to perform the mitzvos, or whether, like it says in one of the Sfarim, that by Purim he would jump up on the bima and he would dance, and the Lashon of the Sefer is kamat, he was stepping on the Megillah because he was just so outside of himself. And the way that Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara describes, would begin Shmona Esrei in one corner and end in the other corner, they say the Berdichever was ki'ilu the same thing. So imagine if the holy Berdichever, who was a model of what it means to be enthusiastic for Jews, and for mitzvos. So imagine what it would look like if he was tasked with lighting the menorah. Hayim mishaber ha-menorah v'shofich ha-shemen zayis l'godol hislavos v'yamitzvah rabah l'zu. In his great excitement for the mitzvah, he would probably knock over the menorah and he would spill the oil and it would be a big balagan. A very holy expression of tremendous hislavos. Aval Aaron lo shina, and therefore the chiddush of Aaron is that he was on such a madrega that he was able to contain all of that excitement and in a very humble and sanua way, light the menorah with all of that, again, tremendous energy burning inside of him. Shalo nikar bo shum shinoi, but nothing was noticeable on the surface. Ad kan the words of Yitzchak of Vorki. So the Yismach Yisrael explains, Ulahavin dvar of HaKadoshim, heim al pi divrei kedushas ladoni avi zakeni zatzal, al maimer ha-gemara lo meis Moshe. To understand this, we need to understand a little bit about what set Moshe apart from the other Nevi'im. And then maybe we'll have a deeper understanding of what it means that Aaron didn't change. What does it mean, lo meis Moshe? The Gemara has an opinion that Moshe never died, just like the Gemara has elsewhere in Maseches Tanis, that Yaakov Avinu lo meis. The Gemara in Sota says Moshe never died, Ksiv hacha vayamas sham. It says in Devarim Perek Lamed Aled that he died there. And it says elsewhere in Shmot, he shot. So ma lahalan omir umeshamish. Just like over here, he is standing and serving Hashem. Afkan omir umeshamish. So even when it says that Moshe died, he didn't really die. He's still standing in his place and serving Hashem. V'hiksha tuas shur al yavamis ad yavam adbeiz. The Tuas Shur asks in his commentary on the Gemara in Yavamis, Halo kol halimur hu shemo shalomes. The Gemara is trying to prove the opening point, which is that Moshe did not die. And then it brings a pasuk to prove that what? That Moshe is omeru meshamesh. Hayitzar ha Gemara lomer ma hasam chai afkan chai. Why does the Gemara not make the link between the psukim to establish the fact that just like Moshe was alive over there, so too Moshe is alive over here? Why are you highlighting the fact that just like Moshe was standing and serving over there, Moshe continues to stand and serve over here? What is this image of standing and serving? Why write at length that Moshe is standing and serving? Why not just say more simply that Moshe is still alive? Uperish Huzal, the Tefuah Shur explains in a very deep insight. Dine Adam Nivra Lios Davuk B'chachma Elyon Alolam. Man was created to live in a constant state of Dveikus to Hashem above. Vilios Medam HaTzur Eliotzra, and to try to align himself as best he can with his Creator. V'lasos Gam MeHaGuf HaOchor, and to take the lowly body, Shehu Chomer Gas, which is made of very gross physicality, Gam Kein Tzura Kamo HaNeshama, to take that clump of dearth, which we are, and to use it, to mold it into something of Tzura, to take the Chomer, the unrefined, the Chomer Gas, the unrefined material, and to turn it into something of tzura, of definitive form, kamo haneshama, like the neshama, which has a greater sense of where it's supposed to be and what it's supposed to be. V'achar kach asher chata adam harishon es arev tov v'rav rabitov. But there was a tremendous blurring and blending of the kochos after adam harishon sinned, where tov and rav became intermingled. U'me azlo yuchlu haguf v'hanefesh lios. And from that point forward, there became a level of disconnect and almost a struggle or a battle between the body and the soul, that they're not able to get along with each other in a peaceful and harmonious fashion. So what did Hashem do? Is Hashem going to leave us locked in that terrible fight for all generations, that body and soul are never going to come to some type of agreement? How do we get out? How do we break, so to speak, the cycle of struggle between body and soul? Hashem saw that it's always going to be a battle. There will always be some level of a battle between the body and the soul for most of humanity, as we'll see. Hashem had a hope for that which he created and wanted things to be a little bit different. So therefore, what did Hashem do? After the Chet of Adam Rishon, when the world of Tov and Ra became intermingled, what did Hashem do as a kindness to us? Lachin miyad garshu v'gazer alav misa. Adam was kicked out of Gan Eden, and Adam Rishon was told that you will one day die. And misa is therefore seen not as a terrible tragedy, although, you know, had we avoided the original Chet of Adam Rishon, we never would have had to travel down this path. But after Adam Rishon sinned with the Chere Tzadas and caused a blurring of the world of Tov and Ra, the best way, maybe the only way, to be Metakein is through death itself. V'la Acher HaMisa Yitukan. And through death, one achieves Tikkun. V'anefesh Shavel Be'savia Amakur Machsavasa. Top of page 47. The soul returns to its, so to speak, its home, its father's house, namely HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lezeh Mavur B'medrash. And with this we understand the cryptic words of Chazal at the beginning of Bereishis Rabbah, v'hinei tov ma'od zehamaves. What's so good about death? What's so good about death is that death becomes the tikkun to separate the neshama from the body. Because when they're living side by side, it's very, very difficult for them to achieve perfection and a sense of, again, a sense of shalva and shalom between them. Ki bezeh nasa tikkun agamor. That with death, a person is able to achieve a wholesomeness again, in an ironic kind of way. Ukedivrei pi kadosh, like we find in the words of the Holy One, the Kadosh Hashem, Admor, Rav Simcha Buna, Prashischa, on the pasuk at the beginning of Bereshis, right after Adam sins, Hashem says we need to throw him out of the garden, we need to give him Gzeres Misa, because we're concerned. Hashem says, I'm concerned that Ata, what? Pen Yishlach Yado. God forbid, Adam will extend his hand and take from the Eitz HaChayim, and he'll live forever, and he'll never be able to have a tikkun. That would be terrible. Hainu la'achar chet Adam Rishon, Tzafa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Berov Rachamav, Shemuchrach Lios Ba'olam HaMavas. Hashem said, after the chet of the Eitz HaDas, there had to be Misa in the world. Kedei, what? For what purpose? Aliskos le'tikkun agamur, right? To be zocha to the tikkun agamur. The tikkun comes about through death. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pen yishlach yadav lakach gam be'etz HaChayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is frightened. If Adam takes from the Eitz HaChayim and lives forever, then he's doomed to live this constant struggle of body and soul. V'lo yamos la'olam. And if he won't die, that would be tragedy. V'nimtza v'achal, says the Pasuk, shuhu agashem, v'chai shuhu aruchnias, yenis arev la'olam. Look, let's say it again. I want to make sure it's clear. Rav Simcha Bunav Peshischa is saying, Va'ata, the Pasuk reads, Va'ata pen yishlach yado, HaKadosh Baruch says, I'm scared that Adam is going to extend his hand, V'lakach gam e'etz HaChayim, he's going to take from the e'etz HaChayim, V'achal, and he's going to eat it. So that represents the gashmius within man. The eating, again, is a code word, so to speak, for physicality. V'chai la'olam, the Pasha Pshad is he'll eat and he'll live forever. The way Rav Simcha Bunav is learning it, V'achal, he will eat, v'chai, meaning his eating part of himself, the body, v'chai, and the part of him that's truly alive, the neshama, are going to be stuck together, le'olam, and that would be very bad. V'lo yispardu le'olam zemizeh, and they will never separate. V'lo yechalila le'olam etiko degavar. And therefore, Adam will get stuck in sort of this blurred reality of tov v'ra. L'chein garsho. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Adam and Chava, kicked them out of Gan Eden, and gave them the possibility of death, which would actually give them the possibility of life. V'chein mavur ba'al shech HaKadosh al ha'pasuk. Now we understand, the Alshik explains, Brisi haisa ito hachayim v'hashalom. Who's that a reference to? Hainu, pincha zacha, shebechiyuso nasa shalom b'neim ben guf ha'nefesh. Says the Yismach Yisrael, quoting the Alshik, there are some tzaddikim who actually overcome, so to speak, the curse of Adam HaRishon. Right? They are not going to die in the way that others die, or because others die. Take Moshe Rabbeinu, as we'll come back to in a moment, but take Moshe at the very end of the Torah highlights how healthy he is, and he has to die simply because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands him to do so. But there's not necessarily a disconnect between body and soul when it comes to certain tzaddikim. So Pinchas, who is the context of this, Hainu Pinchas zacha shebechiyuso nasa shalom b'neim ben guf ha'nefesh. Pinchas had the ability, remarkably so, to align his body and his soul. Upinchas ze Eliyahu, and we have a tradition, both from Chazal in Nigla and Nistar, that Pinchas is Eliyahu. Lafiha ala shamayim gufo, and therefore one whose body and soul are not constantly at war can ascend to the heavens with one's body intact. Shagufo nasa kol kach mezuchach, kamo hanefesh. Pinchas' body was completely refined like the soul itself, and therefore there was no, again, there was no disconnect. Were perfectly aligned. V'chein mavur b'harambam yisodei haTorah, references the Gemara in Yavamis here as well. Shezeh ben Moshe l'shar neviim. This is the difference between the nevuah, the madrega of nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, versus the other prophets. Kol ha'neviim ra baspak lari sheinu meira. All the other prophets saw through a glass or a prism that was not perfectly clear, tinted glass, so to speak. What is the tinted glass? Again, it has to be filtered, the nevuah, through one's body. And therefore, if your body is not perfect, the image becomes slightly distorted by the body as it's on its way to reach the neshama. Hainu shaguf lo hayim zuchach. The body of these other prophets, as refined as they were not completely refined. And therefore, the image was not crystal clear. Lachein lo yachlu lamod b'shal sheniskala aleim or ha'nevuah be'eis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, they were not able to stand to receive the nevuah of Hashem, the way that Moshe did. Kedichsiv va'era ve'epol al panai. Like we find in the first parak of Yechezkel, that through the appearance of the vision, I fell on my face, because I could not, as the Nevi'im could not, receive the Dvar Hashem while standing on their feet. Masha'ein kin Moshe Rabbeinu alav v'shalom. Shayegufo Safiriu Mizuchachmo Nefesh. But Moshe Rabbeinu, whose body was as shining and as purified as his soul. Shaye Imaguf Arbayim Yom Varbayim Laila Lechem Lo Achal. To the point that the body was not an impediment whatsoever to his connection to Hashem. 40 days and 40 nights. Bread I did not eat, as the Pasuk describes. And therefore Moshe Ra'a Basbaklaria Hame'ira. Moshe was able to receive Nevuah with the highest level of clarity, and while he was standing on his feet, fully alert, fully awake, fully able to withstand the intensity of the Dvar Hashem. Hainusha Omer al Amado, Emgufo Bishas Hiskalus HaNevuah. The Moshe was able to stand in his place as he was receiving the Nevuah of Hashem. Lachain lo haya Moshe Rabbeinu Elav HaShalom Nisrach L'Misa. And therefore Moshe did not need Misa. As a means of what? As a means of allowing his soul to return to its ideal state. It was in its ideal state while it was within Moshe's body. Shezocha b'chayim chiyuso. Lavo l'tikon agambor kasher hu ratzon habore baruchu. That Moshe Rabbeinu was able to achieve perfection while still alive. To achieve the initial ratzon Hashem. When Adam and Chav were first created. V'zehu perish lo meis Moshe. And this is what it means, that Moshe never died. Yes, Moshe died, because Hashem said so, but Moshe never died in the sense that what? That his body and his soul literally worked hand in hand. Ki lo hayetzarach lezeh kedichsiv ayhi sham im Hashem. Haynu shahaya b'shamayim. From the fact that he was what? That he was once with Hashem, with his body intact, to receive the Torah 40 days and 40 nights. Moshe as Moshe, not just the soul of Moshe, but Moshe as the person Moshe, was in the Shemayim. Haynu shahaya b'shamayim. Umahasam omer b'shamish. And just like then, he was omeinu mishamish. He was able to stand and to serve before Hashem. Emphasis on the word what? Standing. Hanu kamosh mavur barambam. The chiddush of Moshe Rabbeinu was he could stand to receive his nevuah. He wasn't overwhelmed by the nevuah. He's referred to in the Torah as the friend of Hashem, who spoke face to face with Hashem. Right? The ability to receive from Hashem in a remarkable way. So the Zoram emphasizes that he's omeid al madom gufo be'eis shachaya b'shamayim. He stood in his place with his body intact as he was in the heavens of Olam Torah mipi Hashem. And he learned Torah from Hashem. Afkan omeid m'shamish. So therefore now we understand the Gemara says Moshe didn't die. He is still omeid m'shamish. What does that mean? Nimsa shakol adia kurak v'tevas omeid m'shamish. Going back to the question of the Tvuah Shur, why does it not say that Moshe Rabbeinu was Chai? Why do you use this funny lashon of Omeru Mishamish? He's Omeru Mishamish because that's exactly the point. That is the Maila of Moshe Rabbeinu. That his body and his soul were not disconnected. And that's really the essence of what it means, Moshe Rabbeinu, Lomes. Adkan Lashono HaNitzrach Le'inyanenu. Adkan, the words of the Tvuah Shur, as explained appropriately for our purposes. Including the comment of Rav Simcha Bunno of Peshischa. V'zehu perush dvar v'kadoshim shal kedushas admor zatzal mivorki. So now we understand much more about if Moshe and Aaron, we know in many ways are equals. We see that from Rashi back in Shemos, right? When it sometimes mentions Moshe first, sometimes mentions Aaron first, and it comes to teach us, Rashi in Parshas Va'era tells us, that is to teach us that they were shekulin, that they were equal. So just like Moshe had this ability to stand before Hashem, so too Aaron had this ability to what? To not be overwhelmed by the aura of mitzvos, but to be able to stand before Hashem. And therefore, says the Rebbe of Orki, L'hagit shivcho shal Aaron shloshina. Aaron didn't change. What does it mean Aaron didn't change? He didn't change from his ability to stand there and to do the mitzvah with all of the madregos, and yet to be able to maintain his composure in serving Hashem. Which is a mila. Jumping around the room like the Berditchever is also a mila. But standing in one's place and being so deeply connected is a big chiddush, and is what Rashi is on a deeper level hinting to. Says the Rebbe of Orki, and this again is this explanation of the Vart that the Rebbe of Orki explained, contrasting Aaron HaKohen and Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev. Kol ha-shinuyim va-ispailus shehem ba'adam b'shas asiyas ha-mitzvah. Why is it that sometimes our bodies become so wild from mitzvos? Again, we would say that's a very high level, and it is. An even higher level, he's suggesting, is to be able to not shuckle wildly when davening a passionate Shemona Esrei, but to daven the passionate Shemona Esrei with hardly moving at all, to be able to contain that energy within. Why are we moving about? Why is our body thrashing about? It's an indication, not God forbid in any way, this takes away from those who who serve Hashem with greatest lavas. Again, the level of the Berditcher is a very, very holy level. But he's suggesting that from one perspective, an even higher madrega is where the body is perfectly still. And that's a sign that the body is not in any way, needs to be moved aside, needs to be energized in a certain way to serve Hashem, because it so naturally is already aligned with Hashem. So when the body moves, it's a sign that what? That the body needs to energize itself in order to perform the mitzvah properly. But a person whose body has already been on the level of a nefesh, and now this person wants to serve Hashem like it was prior to the sin of Adam Rishon, such a person does not need to do any moves, any efforts. It comes naturally because their body and soul are so beautifully and naturally aligned. And this is the praise of Aaron HaKohen. Aaron didn't have to jump around to get himself into it. Rather, Aaron was so elevated and so refined and so illuminated, safiri, shining, that he did not need any extra special yagia or strange shinuyim, tenuos, unusual movements, in order to make himself fully present in the service of Hashem. He concludes in the next paragraph, Vizehu Perish Rashi. Perhaps this also explains the Rashi that describes how the menorah had a step in front of it, upon which Aaron would stand. Actually, three steps. Ma lahaya lefnei ha-menorah, there were steps in front of the menorah, sha'aleha ha-kohen omeid umeitiv asaneros. That Aaron would what? Would stand, and from there would kindle the lights. Hainu shi'egiya lamadregas omeid umeshamesh. Just like we saw, again, the question of the Tua Shur, why does it say Moshe was Omeid Meshamesh? Why not just say Moshe is alive? Because the Indian of being Omeid Lifnei Hashem, and to be so connected to Hashem that you're not overwhelmed by being Omeid Lifnei Hashem, is a very, very, very lofty level where the guf is no longer an impediment to the body. So Aaron was what? He was Omeid Meshamesh. Like Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai, Kisha Amdu. Very nice diuk. Kisha Amdu at Har Sinai, when Klal Yisrael stood at Har Sinai, they were freed from the Malach HaMavis, they were freed from the Yitzhahara, Paskazu HaMasa, and they were cleansed from the Chayit of Adam HaRishon. And they were back to being Omdim. Being an Omid is a very angelic state, as per the Pasuk in Zechariah in the third parak. Perish Ba'amida Daika, right? That they were truly standing. As Chazal initially says, Sheyotza Nishmasa, their souls left their body, Perish Shalai Yecholam Lios Ba'amida, At Sheyotza Nishmasa, Sheyotza Lagami Megashmi Shalahem, that Klal Yisrael, again, and Har Sinai were achieving that level of negating the negativity of the guf, becoming entirely spiritual in a way that they could then be reinserted into their guf. And that's what it means, Mal Haaretz Deyas Hashem, the longing of the messianic description of Yeshaya Perek Yud Aleph, where the aretz is going to be filled, where the earthliness, where the physicality, where the gashmias, again, in the words of the Yismach Yisrael, afageshem yismal eideya, v'nizke lahasig v'hasagos Hashem beguf, to the ability to reach a level where one is able to understand and attain levels of kedusha, not only through the soul, but through the body as well. V'loya lehem, in a way of naturalness, without forcing the body to come along, where the body wants to do it on its own. So the Kohen who is able to stand, and a Kohen lighting the menorah, standing on those steps, for lo kishar naviim, standing as opposed to what? Seeing and falling on one's face, as we saw before Pasuk from Yechezkel, Perak Aleph. So therefore, Aaron a Kohen was able to what? To do the avoda without any shinoi, without changing one bit. Shegufo haya safiri v'ruchani, because his body was illuminated and spiritual. Blazos lo shina, and therefore there was nothing that needed to be changed in order to make this mitzvah work. So you see the madrega of Aaron HaKohen, b'shas halakas ha-menorah. It's important for us to realize, and it's an important yisod, and I want to just end with this. If you turn to the back of the sefer, again to the Ma'oran Shel Yisrael section that we look at often, on page Chaf Gimel and Chaf Dalin, there's one small piece here. He has two pieces on Baaloscha, but the first small piece on Baaloscha, I think, will add a dimension to this and remind us of a very important yisod about how a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives mitzvos and the many levels upon which mitzvos rest and can be understood. On the piece Vayas Ken Aaron, again he quotes our Rashi, L'hagid Shivcho She'aron Shaloshina. I guess the question again, what would the Havamina be that someone would deviate from the Dvar Hashem, from the Tzivoy Hashem? And he offers an explanation. He quotes from HaRebbe Admor, HaRebbe HaZakein Zechuse Egen Aleinu, on the top of page Chav Dalet, Debe'emes, and here's the Yesod. Kol Taryag Mitzvos Heima Oros Ruchanios L'malam in Seichel Adam. A mitzvah is an or. Kiner mitzvah v'tora or. It's mamish a light. And therefore, how do you hold the light in your hand? How do you put a light in your brain? How do you take a light in your mouth? Right? For the mitzvos of achila. It's really you're eating oros when you eat matzah. And you're shaking light when you shake a lulav. Right? And you're listening to light when you hear a shofar. And you're surrounding yourself in light when you keep Hilchos Shabbos. So if mitzvos are lights, so how do we absorb such a thing? How do we interact with such a thing? But since HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to interact, so to speak, with those lights in the world of Asiya, in the world of tangible physical reality, so therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu contracted and sent down his light for us to interact with. So when you take a palm frond in your hand, a lulav, where you're really taking be'etzem, you're taking a contracted version, a physical expression of a very, very lofty divine light. That we're able to take a mitzvah, which is really an entirely ruchnius type of concept, and we're able to now attach it and experience it through a physical object. Aval Aaron a kohen is dachik gufo kol kach she'eroy l'kayim a mitzvah b'seichel elyon ruchnius gemura. But says the Yismach Yisrael, Aaron HaKohen was able to what? Was able to perform the mitzvah b'sharsha, to perform the mitzvah at its shoresh, the way the mitzvah is when it's what? When it's above. B'seichel Elyon, in a ruchnias gemura, when it's still a light. And therefore, of course, Aaron was responsible for kindling the lights. It's those same lights that represent the ability to perform the mitzvah in its truest heavenly fashion, not just the contracted version as it exists below, for those of us who are not able to interact with the mitzvah otherwise. With a fun of lo haya tzorach ba mitzvah is gashim. So for Aaron, the mitzvah didn't have to take on physical form. And that's shivcho shel Aaron shaloshina. The mitzvah didn't need to change itself to become more accessible to Aaron. Sha mitzvah samanorah lo haya tzrich lishtanos lefanov. The mitzvah didn't need to change to make a human being able to interact with this or, but rather Aaron HaKohen proved himself worthy of performing the mitzvah as an or, not in a contracted type of mitzvah as relevant to the world of Asiya. Again, it's an important yesod to remind ourselves that mitzvahs function on many, many levels. And sometimes we look at a mitzvah object and we say, what's so holy about this object? Realize that that mitzvah object is your connection to a much greater light above, a spiritually pure light above, a davar ruchani. And there are tzaddikim who are able to see that and to perceive that and to interact on that level. And that's why the tzaddikim are so excited about mitzvos. And yet, nonetheless, l'agid shivcho shalaron shaloshina, despite not changing from the mitzvah at its shoresh, nonetheless, like we learned in the first piece, Aaron HaKohen still had the ability to maintain his eslavos. And again, that's not a sign of a person who's cold in their avodas Hashem, but it's a sign of a person who has aligned his guf with his neshama so perfectly that he's able to be omed u'meshamesh, to be omed on those steps in front of the menorah, and to do the ratzon Hashem in the optimal fashion. So halavai, we should work hard. We should work hard each and every day of our life to try to realign mafli lasos, like we say in Asher Yatzar, the wondrous relationship between the body and the soul, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us to make sure that our bodies don't become an impediment to our avodas Hashem. And again, the loftier we become in bridging that gap between the body and the soul and lifting ourselves up, ba'loscha saneros, when we lift up the candle within ourselves, the ner Hashem nishmas adam, then we'll be able to do mitzvos closer to their shoresh And in that way, we will be even closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than we already are. I wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos, and I thank you for learning with me.